2015, Baldies in the house. What are the Baldies, Jim?
They're a quasi award show.
Fake award show.
Yeah, it's our favorite stuff of the TV season.
Yep. And we're going to decide what that is and argue about it and then record a, like a little slick awards package show.
And inevitably get a lot of feedback on why we're wrong.
Yep, that we will never consider because there's never going to be a, you know, we're not going to have an open up with our bullshit from 2015 on the 2016 Baldies, so.
Yeah, and ultimately, you know, it's our favorite stuff and you're going to have a difference of opinion and.
You know where the place to argue about it is? The forums.
There
forums.
You go.
Baldmove.com.
There'll be a thread for it.
So let's start. Let's dig in here. Best TV show and best comedy. I'm going to.
We have a massive list of shows that
I'm going to bold this. Except for I need the keyboard, man.
Oh yeah,
official
you got
bald,
it.
Bald keyboard.
There you go.
Control B this biatch, and then I'm going to go down and get all of our shows that we have watched or think we should have watched, and. Paste this stuff in here.
There are so many shows that just aren't on our list at all.
Okay, so what we're going to do, I think what we did last year is we sit and we think about these shows and whether they should be higher or lower on the list. All right?
Yeah.
So, like, let's start at the bottom. Jessica Jones needs to be much higher on the list.
Yeah, I mean, if you listen to our planning session, I think we're planning on doing this stuff a little bit different than we did last year.
Oh, shit.
You deleted it. If you listen to our deliberations there, we were kind of forming a single list. This time we're doing categories.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to try and get a pool of nominees, not in any specific order for each of those categories. And then we'll go through and we'll deliberate on that pool of nominees, which one should win.
Right. But we're trying to sweat like a top 10. So I'm going to go ahead and since I know it's better than 40, I'm going to go ahead and make this number one. And then as we get closer to the top, then we'll figure that out. Oh! Just coincidentally, Daredevil's number two now.
I think Daredevil can stay about where it is there.
Okay. Interesting. Ash versus Evil Dead needs to be higher, right?
Yeah.
Not better than Daredevil.
Well,
is it better than Daredevil?
I mean, I don't think it's a top 10 show. Can I say that?
Okay, fine. It's top three now. What do you think of that?
By saying that I think Daredevil's about where it should be, I did not mean that it's going to make the top 10. I meant
no. I know
you don't need to move it
sure,
at the moment.
Sure, I know what you mean.
Okay,
all right. Narcos is up there. Going Clear.
So we need this.
We need a best documentary. I think
we
so.
Got
enough.
And I almost want to put Show Me a Hero in there.
It's nah.
But that's more of a
right.
series, as much as like Fargo is a series.
All right, so we're gonna go. We got a rush. We actually have a rush of. These so best documentary, and then that's fucked up. What the hell?
What
the hell, man? It started off as 43 and 44. So I think
you can reset
that
number.
Yeah, making him a bullet, and then oh no!
Right click on it, see if you can reset the numbering.
Right click and reset. How do you even do that?
I think it'll
restart numbering. Boom! Yeah. There you go. Cool. So we got that, and we got some of this shit to get rid of. Ballers needs to go higher.
Yeah,
Ballers and Brink and Silicon Valley.
So the Brink to me is a comedy.
Ooh yeah yeah.
Ballers
is
not
a comedy.
Ballers has a lot of funny stuff in it, but ultimately I feel like Ballers is about the drama of The Rock trying to sort his shit out and trying to sort the shit of his clients out, right?
Yeah.
So I would put that, not super firmly, but in the list of drama.
I agree.
Whereas Brink is a farce.
Silicon Valley is certainly a comedy. So I guess
it's
that's
satire.
Yeah, the first pass through, we just need to split the shit into what's going on here.
Sure. Z Nation. big drama, I guess. It's more of an action.
While you're debating that, I'm going to grab some other
it goes
obvious
in there.
Comedy choices and get them out of here.
Sure.
All right.
Always Sunny needs to go in there.
Oh, yeah. Orange is the New Black, comedy or drama?
I don't know.
What's your opinion on
it.
Someone who's not seen any of this?
It's
going to trounce. So it got
voted as a comedy last year.
It's going to trounce
Emmys, right?
It's going to trounce a lot of comedies if we put in the comedy section.
Sure. Although I'm going to be judging comedy differently,
I think
frankly.
Oh, okay. I think that's where it belongs, though.
Like, I'm not going to be judging on comedy on, like, how good necessarily the characters are or like the plot held together. I'm going to be judging it on how funny it was.
Okay.
How much it made me laugh.
House of Cards and the Bridge needs to go up higher.
I know Rick and Morty is somewhere on this list. Did you already move that?
Maybe. We'll find out. Together.
The Bridge can go fuck itself.
Well, sure, sure.
It needs to be way lower.
Sure,
but.
Sure. Top of the Lake actually is one of my Boomerang selections, which because that didn't come out this year.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to put it down here at number 32, the Boomerang selection. Better Call Saul and The Leftovers, certainly, and Fargo need to be way higher.
Can we put Breaking Bad Season 3 in the Boomerang section?
Oh, really? Okay.
Because sure. That's something we covered this year but didn't come out this year.
Why not? Breaking.
Bad
Season 3. Shit. While we're at it. Community. Motherfucker. Community, baby.
No, just the whole thing, top to bottom.
So here's another question. Are documentaries only documentaries that came out this year? Because there's not that many documentaries.
I think they are.
Really? Because I'd like to throw Harmontown in there too, something we've both seen.
Yeah.
And it's a Netflix. What is a new release on Netflix?
I feel like that's not within the spirit of the Baldies 2015.
All right, well, it's a boomerang. It's definitely a boomerang then.
I mean, I don't know, because I can also see an argument that's like, you know, since it's our favorites of 2015, it doesn't necessarily have to be something that came out in 2015.
That's true.
But I don't like that argument.
Really, that's what you thought I wanted to do.
Because then that opens it up too much.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's the thing. Like, we're just making shit up here. You know what? Fuck you. Clear formatting. No, it's still not doing what I wanted to do. I don't even know how to make this happen.
Select the second one and two.
Yeah.
I'm not breaking
Restart
bad.
Numbering.
Oh, you're going
to... You know what? Fuck it. I think we can manage this list without the numbers.
Sure.
Okay, so now we're getting somewhere. Banshee... needs to be Show Me a Hero and Dread. Ooh, we're starting to get in the nitty gritty here. Parks and Rec and Rick and Morty, let's get them out of here. They need to be in the comedy section.
Mm-hmm.
All right, sweet. Now let's go to.
So there are some things in this list that neither of us have seen, right?
I don't.
That we intended
is there?
We put on the list intending to get to it, and we never did. Yeah, like second season of Halt and Catch Fire. Should be gone. Z Nation should be gone.
So you didn't see any of that stuff?
I never got around to Z Nation.
Okay, so let's get gone. Halt and Catch Fire, gone.
Did you ever see Sense8? I did.
I did not. I saw a couple episodes, but not in the right order. Like, I came home and Cecily was watching it and I was working on notes, so I got kind of what they were going for. I saw probably about three episodes, but not back to back or any kind of proper order.
Depending on which ones you saw, this should be an interesting discussion.
So we're gonna keep Sense8
keep that because I saw the
Humans?
Whole thing. I didn't see any of that. I meant to.
Okay. Yeah, all that stuff's good. I did not see Bloodlines, but you did.
I think I saw it. What season of Bloodlines is out? Or Bloodline, it's called.
First season
that I did see it. Did that come out this year? Because I feel like I watched it months and months and
you
months
did,
ago.
But that's still a year ago. I'm confident.
I mean,
it came out
I feel like I watched it.
I thought it came out around House of Cards time.
Let's see, Bloodline. Yeah, so it's 2015.
Okay.
Oh shit! Next episode, Friday, January 15th.
So this is
you might want to get on that.
What do you mean get on it? Oh, is it going to come out again?
January 15th, it starts back up.
Well, the thing is I know for certain House of Cards Season 4 drops sometime around... That's the other...
February, Valentine's Day.
Yeah. And that's weird because it's a short-term commitment. Like, we're done with it in 3 weeks, but it's an intensive commitment the way we cover it.
It is, yeah. And so would Bloodline, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's probably all going to be dropped at once. And
yeah.
Good old Netflix.
When did Daredevil come out?
Daredevil came out... March.
That's
April?
The thing. Like, there's no way they're going to have Luke Cage and Iron Fist and the Defenders and like I'm trying to think when Daredevil's going to wrap back around
April.
For a solo show. And I don't know.
Let's see. April. It's coming back April 2016. The first episode came out April 10th, 2015. So.
All right. So here's a problem. I got two shows that you haven't seen.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen all of the Nick. That's another thing that's going to be, me and Shane Bowman are going to be doing a Nick throwdown in early January.
Yeah.
Because it wraps up here over the holidays. But I'm trying to think. I'm going to throw it up around here.
I mean, I would like to go through this list and just clearly eliminate things that will not make it into the top 10. That are impossible. Like, American Horror Story is not going to make it, right?
Probably not, but...
Baller's not going to make it.
Yeah, but what's the hurt of putting them up here?
If then you got to move them again.
Maybe.
Definitely.
Fear the Walking... Okay, so Sense8. So... Oh, man. Justified needs to be in the top 10 discussion anyway, right?
Sure.
So maybe, I guess, if something, we don't think something's going to be in the top 10, we can leave it at the bottom. Is Baller's not going to make it in the top 10. Show Me, nope. Hero, maybe?
Maybe. Let's throw it up there. We'll definitely talk about it as a top 10 show.
Okay.
Which is a shame, because I think you said you haven't seen the last two episodes.
There's two episodes to go, and I'm digging
it. Damn it.
I'm digging it. I'm really digging it.
Yeah, so. I saw it all, and it's, wow, it's pretty good.
So American Horror Story is not going to make it to top 10. Is Sense8 going to make the top 10?
I want to talk about it, at least.
Okay.
And discussions for why it's important and why it should be. Well, let's get through this list, yeah?
Okay.
Keep going.
Fear the Walking Dead is not going to make it to top 10.
No.
In fact, no. Fear the Walking Dead is...
That's the one you're willing to delete?
No.
Oh, okay.
Boom. I can't imagine anything on the show is worse. The Walking Dead is not going to get top 10.
No. Of course
not. Game of Thrones might not get top 10.
Yeah, put it up there because it's got to be talked about.
It definitely has to be talked about, but I doubt it's going
to
make
top 10.
I mean,
at the very least, we have to talk about some of these shows in the context of why they're not going to make it in the top 10.
Can you? I'm threatening to go off the frame. Can you give me a little bit of a tilt action here? Thank you. That's good. That's perfect. I know I might be a little low, but who cares?
As long as
I don't go off. I don't want my head going off frame. What else? So we're at The Walking Dead, Mr. Robot. Mr. Robot and Mad Men, top 10 potential, right? Man, the top 10 is going to be a bloodbath.
Oh, fuck yeah, it is. There were a lot of good shows this year, frankly.
Bloodline, are you going to make an argument for Bloodline being in the top 10? I'm going to drop The Walking Dead down below.
No, I'm not. I think I...
Do I want... Did I say Ballers is better than The Walking Dead? Ballers better than Walking Dead?
I have more fun with it. For what it is, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, for it's more successful at what it's trying to be, I feel like.
Yeah. I don't think I'm going to make an argument for Bloodline top 10. Okay. I will just say that Bloodline is a good show, and... Ben Mendelsohn alone is worth watching for.
Can we say Sense8 is the floor of what we're going to talk about? Because you said it's like whatever's a Sense8 or higher, we're going to at least give consideration to.
Okay.
Not
well,
top
what,
10.
What about Banshee? Like, is Banshee in there? Like, it's good for what it was.
The thing
certainly.
Is, I recorded a fucking 2-hour podcast with Shane and Cecily on that. By the way, me and Cecily are going to do a Banshee podcast
for the
this
final year.
For the final year.
Okay.
So let's drop it. This isn't a judgment call on it. So you want to talk about Bloodline. True Detective obviously is probably going to be, I don't think it's going to be in the top 10, but whatever. Who knows? Who knows how our line will work?
Who knows?
Narcos, top 10 potential?
Definitely.
Okay. So now I feel like we're starting to get somewhere.
Right.
Ash versus Evil Dead, I don't feel like I need to talk about that. That's below the Sense8 line.
Yeah, not as top 10. It's also good for what it is. It's fun, like Ballers is, but come on.
Not better than Banshee either.
I have no idea.
I know you don't care, but is it better than, maybe it's better than American Horror? I don't know. Penny Dreadful is unfortunate that you have not got a chance to watch that because
yes, it is.
It's not top 10 potential, but it's something I'll talk about a little bit. Better Call Saul, top 10 potential.
Definitely.
Leftovers, top 10 potential.
Come on.
I think the Nick has top 10 potential, but I don't think you're going to.
I haven't seen it. I haven't seen any of it, so I don't know.
Boy, it's
and remember
we're
start we have
making some hard decisions here.
We each have a force on and a veto. So
right.
You can force something if you think that Banshee is the best show of the year. You can force it onto the list,
sure,
and it'll immediately get shot down by better shows.
I don't think we actually used that last year, but that it is something we can threaten each other with.
I thought we did. I thought we used a veto.
Did we use a veto? Maybe. I don't know. Okay, we're getting to brass tacks now. Is Penny Dreadful? Whew. All right. I don't know, because I haven't seen Bloodline or Sense8, and you haven't seen Penny Dreadful the Nick. So, let's do this. Is Justified better than Fargo? No.
Mm. Man, I'm trying to remember Justified's last season. It was the Pizza Portal stuff.
It was the Pizza Portal.
Had some pretty good stuff. Sam Elliott was in there. You had Kate.
Mary Steenburger.
Playing Kate, I think. Kate something?
No, I don't know.
Is that her name?
It's the Countess, whatever her name is.
Yeah. She was real good. Samuel was real good. You got a lot of good Wynn Duffy stuff.
It ended excellently. Like, we were really pleased strong. With the way, as a Justified fan, it ended. Is it better than Fargo?
Did Justified have any big missteps that you can think of? Like,
other than the fact that the main plot was nonsensical. The whole medical marijuana, the whole legal weed... Being the green gold. Or whatever, did not
the soil in Harlan.
We kept
being
on coming back
for...
to the fact that the main plot of this did not right. make any sense.
Whereas the main plot of Fargo, I felt, made a lot of sense.
Sure.
In as much as you have gangsters warring for territory,
yeah. But Justified's a lot of fun.
As was Fargo.
Okay, so you're not willing to say Justified's better than Fargo.
I think both of those definitely need to be considered for top 10.
Okay. But that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm trying to, we're all in top 10. I think from here on out, we're top 10 territory. So let's do this. Okay. So let's leave that as it is for now.
Yeah.
I think that's right. Fargo feels better and more important than.
I think you're right.
And more of an artistic achievement and a drama than Justified.
Yeah.
Is Fargo better than Show Me a Hero? I don't think, just 4 episodes out of 6, I don't think it is.
So here's the big misstep of Show Me a Hero for me.
Oh boy, I might get some spoilers here.
No, you won't. You've seen all this stuff. Early on, it does not do nearly enough to tell me why all I should be concerned about any of the side plots. Both the girl from the Dominican Republic, the girls in the hood, like in the projects,
the
whatever.
Nurse. Yeah.
All of those people seem totally tangential to
but that's
the
very
story.
Much David Simon's thing.
And I will tell you that they bring it back around toward
sure,
the end. But
I
watching
totally
through
expect.
Most of that, I was like, I don't care about any of these because you haven't given me a reason to yet.
But how would they? You'd have to have a single focus POV episode for each one of those. Like, David Simon's shtick. Like, when I watched the first season of The Wire, like 4 or 5 episodes in, it's not clear who all the major players are. Because you just haven't gotten around to them all yet. So I didn't see that as a drawback at all.
Well, it felt like a drawback to me because I was wasting time watching those parts of it when...
But you weren't.
I was really intrigued and concerned with the main plot,
right.
which those were taking away from.
Okay.
Is how I felt.
Is it better... Is Fargo better than Show Me a Hero? I say no.
Having seen the final 2 episodes of Show Me a Hero, I definitely say no.
Okay.
I think those are the things that tie it up for me.
Is True Detective, Show Me a Hero better than True Detective?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So is True Detective better than Fargo?
Yeah. Wait. No, other way around.
Is True Detective better than Justified?
Nope.
Is it better than The Nick?
I don't know.
Is it better than Penny Dreadful?
I don't know. You going down the list says,
is it better
yes,
than
yes.
Bloodline?
Or no.
I mean,
okay.
True Detective season 2 is a disappointment, but it wasn't shit. It was above average, good show, but it had a lot of missteps.
So I can say I was more into it, but I was podcasting about it. So like,
all right,
week to week, I'm gonna be more into.
We're
a show
gonna revisit
I'm
this,
about.
But this
we need to revisit all this.
True
top
Detective
20 here
fell pretty hard there. Yeah. Is Show Me a Hero better than Better Call Saul?
Mm-mm.
Really?
I had so much more fun with Better Call Saul.
Okay.
I mean, other we than can argue
the first two episodes were the only ones that were even a slight disappointment.
And in retrospect, I thought only episode two was the real disappointment.
Yeah. Yep.
But we will argue, I guess, later once we get further through this on like the merits importance versus entertainment.
This is just seat of the pants.
Sure.
Is Better Call Saul better than Leftovers? Fuck no.
Get the fuck out of here. It's not even close.
In fact...
I mean, saying it's not even close seems like a slam on Better Call Saul.
But it's not.
It's not. It's just the praise of the Leftovers.
Yep. I don't know what's going on with fonts and things. I actually prefer that. Okay. So, Better Call Saul, is it better than Daredevil?
Ooh. Here, let's skip to House of Cards, because House of Cards isn't as good as Daredevil or Better Call Saul, in my opinion.
Is it better than Show Me a Hero? Hell no. Is it better than Fargo? No. Is it better than Justified? No. Is it better than Nick? No. Is it better than Penny Dreadful? That's about its level, I feel like.
Really? Damn, it took a fucking hit?
Man, House of Cards season 3 was not great.
It was not as strong as the first two, for sure.
I'm hoping that they end strong with season 4. There's no reason. I think the biggest problem with season 3 is that it existed. Like, it should have season 4 shouldn't exist. Season 3 should have been what season 4 probably is going to be.
Yeah, so I like a lot of the stuff they did with Claire.
Oh yeah, Claire's good
in this season, but a lot of the stuff that they were doing,
I like the Russian president. It just didn't finish.
I kind of like the writer stuff. Like,
yeah.
All
right, well, again, we're not arguing the merits now.
Okay.
Is Daredevil better than Game of Thrones?
Game of Thrones this year is a conundrum.
So Hard Home was really good.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of the stuff, the ideas there were really good.
Cersei stuff was really good.
The dragons were really good and exciting, but I thought the execution was bad. I think this is the worst season of... Well, first of all, worst, quote-unquote worst. It's tied with season 2 for me right now as the worst. Season 2, very... had Blackwater to commend it. Season 5 has Hardhome.
So the part where Game of Thrones really fell down for me, and I definitely for you Everything in Dorne. And I didn't feel like there was enough great stuff with Tyrion to make up for it. Even though some of the Bronn Jaime stuff was entertaining.
Too much bad pussy.
Exactly.
Too much bad pussy and ineffectual whip fighting.
And I'm trying to think, did I feel that way with Daredevil at any point? And I think the answer is no.
So does Daredevil have something better than Hardhome?
I feel like that second episode
with the
fight and with his father and his backstory.
The old boy homage and the twin.
It's so good.
Yeah.
So strong.
And I think the cast of Daredevil is just really good too.
It is.
I don't think Game of Thrones is better than Daredevil. Seat of my pants.
I mean, I wouldn't say Daredevil's cast is better than Game of Thrones.
Well, but I'm saying that their cast is surprisingly likable.
Yeah. Okay, seat of pants judgment here. Put Daredevil above Game of Thrones.
Okay. Shocking. Shocking. Already some shocking upsets here. was Daredevil better than Narcos? I say no. I really like Narcos a lot, and I can't
wait. We're still
on
Game of Thrones, right? We've got to say, is it better than Better Call Saul?
Oh shit, you're right. It could fall. Is it better than Better Call Saul? No.
Hmm.
Is it better than Show Me a Hero? I say no.
Better Call Saul was a surprise to me, given that I had no idea what they could do with it.
Okay.
Like I saw it, and I was like, none of that is anything I expected, and it's great.
Okay.
Whereas Game of Thrones kind of delivered on some of the things that I would hope it would deliver on.
While you're chewing on that, I'm going to pour myself
some beam.
Some rum.
But Game of Thrones was kind of a known quantity, and
it feels blasphemous for us not to put our number one show in terms of popularity into the top 10. But I'm worried for it. I don't know that it'll get top 10 this year.
It might. I don't know.
And we're not cheating. By the way, we have... Every bit of this planning process we filmed. So this is the first time we're talking about this. This is legit debate. I don't know if it's interesting, but it's legit.
So I'm going to say Game of Thrones didn't deliver on the things that I felt it needed to, whereas Better Call Saul delivered better than I ever expected it could.
All right. Is it better than Show Me a Hero?
It's more entertaining. Certainly.
Is it better than Fargo?
Yeah.
It's better than Fargo.
I don't feel like it fell down
so
in the same way that Fargo fell down.
So it's between Show Me a Hero and Fargo, or maybe it's better than Show?
Maybe better than Show Me a Hero, right, but I'm not sure.
Let's stick with Seat of Pans here. Okay. Is Game of Thrones better than... So we've found its level. We need to go on, right?
I think so.
Is Narcos better than Daredevil? We'd say yes, right? I really like Narcos.
Did you
make it through Narcos? And I think season 2 is going to be even better.
Let's leave that where it is. I'm okay with
that. Okay. Is Narcos better than Mr. Robot?
Oh, that's a tough one.
Mr. Robot was flawless. I thought that Mr. Robot let off the gas in the final episode, but...
Wait, I recall you not liking the main villain either.
Yes, the main villain is total horseshit. It's the anti-Jessica Jones. Jessica Jones had maybe the best villain I've ever seen. Mr. Robot had you know what I'm talking about. That main arch villain.
We're fucking spoilers on all this shit,
yeah,
right?
Sure.
Like, if you're watching this and you expect not to get spoilers,
I mean, it's not going to be heavy duty Super Saiyan spoilers. But the villain for Mr. Robot is the worst villain I've ever seen. I can't believe the writing room decided, like, and they kept on doubling down on the nonsense every single time. I didn't find him compelling.
Yeah.
I didn't find him interesting. I thought he's cartoonish. There wasn't really a good foil for Mr. Robot except for Mr. Robot himself.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Robot. Mr. fucking Robot.
I think Mr. Robot's better than Narcos. It's certainly more ambitious.
Okay.
It's got the higher upside.
I think so, too. I really liked Mr. Robot
until...
Actually, I think I might have liked Mr. Robot better than you did because I didn't have a huge
problem with
the main villain.
Absolutely, I agree with that. I had a huge problem with the main villain, and I thought it let off the gas a bit towards the end. But,
a slight bit. I thought so, too. Like,
yeah.
Although,
like, the show peaked in the episode, like, one or two episodes before the finale.
Yeah, they accomplished their goal.
Which that's not unusual. Like, Game of Thrones is a perennial peaker before the final episode. But
it's true.
And if I take the creators at face value that this was just the epilogue of the show,
it's pretty fucking exciting.
Okay, was Mr. Robot better than Mad Men?
So I like Mad Men's final season in the fact that it was a final season, and it brought
and there's no more.
No, and it brought a lot of good. It brought the characters into a lot of places that we felt satisfied by, right? Before it went out.
I thought that the fact that they gave me a satisfying peak conclusion was a miracle.
Yeah.
To say nothing of everything else. Like, I thought that final episode was great. And again, like, if you'd have told me before the season started that Don will essentially abandon his children and I'll be okay with it, I would have said, get the fuck out of here. They did it. I thought Mad Men is great. And I like it personally. Seat of the Pants better than Mr. Robot.
Okay. I do not. I think this comes down to a fundamental viewing difference between you and I.
Is Mr. Robot... Okay, so let's leave it right there, and then we'll argue about it later, because I think we have an unambiguous one here. The bridge.
Needs to go to number one, right?
The bridge is worse.
Mr. Is it better Robot's than better. Justified? Let's just go down to Justified.
Okay. No.
Okay, good.
No, the Nick. House of Cards... No.
Frankly, I only saw a little bit of The Bridge this year. So.
The Bridge, yeah, I thought The Bridge was pretty terrible. It's...
Then keep going.
Better than Bloodline?
Keep going. It's not as good as Sense8, I can tell you that.
Not as good as Banshee. I mean, now we're starting to get into silly shit.
I mean, this is the end of the list.
Yeah.
That's all you got.
How does this look? The Bridge?
Sure, whatever.
And it's over. I mean, I want to kick it when it's down. Like, it's Ash vs. Evil Dead's arguably a comedy. And American Horror Story is obvious is kind of, you could say it's social satire.
You know, I'm more comfortable putting Ash vs. Evil Dead in comedy than drama because it's a comedy horror.
Yeah.
It's not really a drama.
Yeah.
So maybe if you want to move that down there, it's probably still not going to get a nomination over the other great comedies, but.
All right. Well, probably make the top 10 because we just don't.
Well, it has to.
I guess top
by
5
by default.
Where it gets interesting for comedy.
Yeah.
All right, we'll put it at the bottom of that list. Fine.
There you go.
Oh, boy. The Bridge, How Far You Fell. We should have seen it coming, though, from season one. Okay. Mm-hmm. The Americans was not... So I quit watching The Americans. Did you finish it?
Last week I went back through and I watched all of season three.
I'm going to give weight because there's a couple things here. We were overworked. I was not having fun watching The Americans, and I was really skeeved off my problem with The Americans is this. I don't know who to root for. Like, I'm rooting for foreign spies that I don't agree with their ideology. I don't agree with, you know, like, I'm an American, so I wouldn't want to have a Soviet-style government or leadership. And the fact that Philip would consider seducing a 15-year-old girl mm-hmm. for an ideology that at this point he doesn't even really believe in, I was like, what am I? And the fact that they're going to corrupt Paige into this, like, I didn't know what to root for. And I was just not having fun. Now, I want to go back and see it before the next season starts, but I don't know. What did you think? Is it better than Mad Men? No, I'm going to fight you.
No, it's not better than Mad Men.
Mr. Robot?
No.
Narcos?
No.
Daredevil?
No.
Better Call Saul?
No.
Show Me a Hero?
No.
Game of Thrones?
Yes.
Better than Fargo?
It's somewhere in that Game of Thrones, Fargo, Justified loop.
Okay.
For me.
Better. So where do you think it belongs in there?
Well, we'll talk about this when we get to
Because it's just slotted above Game of Thrones?
Yeah, it's tossed in there for now.
Okay.
Because inevitably it's our list and we'll both have to...
Because so this is going to be an interesting one. I feel like Jessica Jones belongs either above or below Daredevil, and I don't know which.
Below is my opinion.
Okay.
I noped out of Jessica Jones two episodes from the end.
Did you not watch it, finish it?
I did not finish it.
Really?
I had a visceral reaction to the horse shit that went on plot-wise, yeah. And I said, fuck it, I'm out.
Do you agree with this statement? Jessica Jones as a 10-episode season, or maybe even 8, would have been one of the best things you've ever seen.
It deals with subjects that a lot of shows don't.
Yeah.
And
again, the villain...
That don't necessarily appeal to me as much as some other topics might, but to other people...
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
The villain as a science fiction element I thought was amazing, because the more that...
It is.
You start off thinking, he's a monster, and he is a monster, but you start... I started thinking, my God, if I was born with these powers, and they manifested at a relatively early age, would I have turned out any different?
Probably
because
not.
He doesn't consciously use them. Like, he has to at all times be very careful how he phrases for his automatic powers not to work. And like,
yeah, when I say go fuck yourself, and they use that line, he's like, I once told a man to go fuck himself, can you imagine?
Yeah. And like, how do you make it out of your teenage years without becoming a fucking amoral monster? Yeah. And yes, like, you could do great good. But as a asshole hormonal teenager, I don't know that you do.
Yeah, what incentive do you have to do good?
And it just warps. Like, it's like, imagine being a child star times infinity, that literally everyone was willing, without your conscious desire, to make whatever you wanted to happen. I found myself thinking about Jessica Jones multiple days after watching it. And yet I understand... Yeah. If you nope that of the last two episodes, you saw the best parts of Jessica Jones.
Really?
And honestly, the part you noped that at was that should have just not have been in the show.
Completely.
That whole arc should have been cut.
It was terrible.
And the show would have been materially better.
So here's the thing. I think the ideas in Jessica Jones and the villain is certainly more interesting and are more relevant and useful to talk about. But Daredevil is a more tightly... plotted and well-executed show.
Yes. There was not much fat on... There's a little bit of fat on Daredevil, but not a lot.
Tiny bit.
There was a ton of... And it seemed like it was something they could have seen. Like, I don't understand. Like, if it seems to me, instead of doing... I mean, Kilgrave gets free, like, 4 times, and 2 of them are... I'm like, so Daredevil, when they finally caught Kingpin, he gets out as the climax of the season.
Mm.
Imagine that had happened in episode 5, and then it happened in episode 7.
And then 10.
And then for some reason, Foggy decides to let him out in episode 9.
Uh-huh.
It's like, at some point, it's like, what the fuck? And
it's all predicated on this idea that Jessica Jones doesn't actually want to kill him, right? Because she wants to save this woman who's in prison. And I get it.
But
that makes sense, but I don't need to see
that 15
times. It's the
Batman problem, right? Like,
it's the Walking Dead problem. Oh. Stop doing it. It's over.
When I'm going to say Batman, it's like his relationship with the Joker. Like, I don't want to kill you, but at what point after you've killed thousands of people because I haven't killed you, am I the asshole? And I get it. Like, I'm a big Batman fan. I understand the whole tension. Most of the reason Batman does that is because he feels like he will be the worst version of the Joker if he crosses that line.
And that's valid.
That's valid. And that's
valid within this show, too.
But the thing is, the perfect out for this would have been Jessica Jones could have been a really awesome and fun Mystery of the Week caper show for the first five episodes with hints of Kilgrave. And then they could have hit the main kill. Because the problem with Kilgrave is he's such an existential threat that you cannot, like, discover he's out there and then, like, oh, I'll do some fun shit with Luke Cage. Everything that Jessica Jones has to stopping Kilgrave. But when he comes out of the bag in, like, episode two, there's just too much. Too much
They
season.
Don't know what to do with him.
They don't.
Because he's such a powerful villain.
It could
He could easily just destroy everything in his path and no one
could
stop him.
He could take out the Avengers, man.
Simply.
Unless Thor's just immune to
it.
Yeah,
yeah.
Which Avengers 2 seems to imply that he wouldn't be.
Okay.
But
the other thing I didn't understand about Jessica Jones, and I want to talk a little bit, maybe we don't need to get to specific yet. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying Daredevil, I think, is a better show, point blank, than Jessica Jones.
I think Jessica Jones should have been an 8-episode season, or they should have done a Mystery of the Week plot and then introduced Kilgrave at the mid-season point.
Yeah, Jessica,
because Jessica Jones
has a big flaw.
As a super-powered detective, that could have been fun to watch her do her thing.
Uh-huh.
And I love Luke Cage. I'm really excited for... Are you excited? Are you pumped for the Luke Cage miniseries? Because
I didn't even know one was going to happen, but sure.
Okay, so it's going to be Daredevil, then Jessica Jones, then Luke Cage, then Iron Fist.
Fuck is that? I wouldn't have known who Luke Cage was either.
Sure. Yeah. And then at the end of it, they're going to have this Defender show, which is essentially like the minor league Avengers set in Hell's Kitchen. All these guys are in Hell's Kitchen. So it's kind of like a neighborhood watch version of the Avengers. I heard all this a year ago, and I'm like, well, I kind of like Daredevil, but fuck all this other stuff. I've gone from Jessica Jones single-handedly made me excited for the whole Defenders arc. Do you agree with that? Because I also thought this Luke Cage guy is fucking awesome, too.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. Going into Daredevil, I had zero expectation. I was like, I'm going to watch this because everybody is.
Yeah.
I got blown away by that. Jessica Jones, I also got blown away by certain aspects of.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see, where... excited is probably the wrong word for me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get excited about stuff that I have no frame of reference for. But, like, if it's as good as what they did with these first two shows, yeah, that'd be cool.
Okay.
But I don't know the characters, so how am I...
Yeah. Well, I mean, Luke Cage, he's a big, tough dude.
Can I say that I think Better Call Saul might be better
than
Jessica Jones?
So it's going to slip... Yeah, I could go along with that. But
Better Call Saul
better?
Does have a one glaring episode that was a problem, but the rest of that show I thought was real strong.
I thought that their heart was in the right place with that episode.
Sure. A little fan service, a little bit of... Yeah.
So...
That's where it gets tricky, Jessica Jones or Show Me a Hero.
Yeah. All right, well, fuck it. Mad Men better than Mr. Robot? Have we done this devolution of Mad Men?
I don't think we have.
Is Mad Men better than Mr. Robot? I don't think it is. But it's hard, like, nostalgically, I want to put it up
there. Here's the thing about Mad Men.
It's the old Greek word for anal pain, that nostalgia's fucking with me.
Mr. Robot feels very fresh and very new, whereas Mad Men felt like
the old guard,
Mad Men
hanging it up. Yeah,
yeah. And maybe it's a recency bias, maybe it's a technology bias, because I'm inherently more interested in the topic of Mr. Robot.
And it's very rare that, it's very rare that a show like that doesn't have me rolling my eyes on the reg. Like, I got to give it up to Mr. Robot. That, like, there's a couple things where the main plot. But the day in, day out was, you know, I'm not a hacker, but I know a little bit about how it's done. I'm sure like a super, like a white hat or black hat hacker is going to be like, but as a code monkey.
This kernel exception could never happen.
Yeah, as a code monkey, it looked pretty good.
I thought so too.
And it was still like.
It was the most true to form of probably anything I've ever seen.
And yet it appealed to so many people that, you know, it's like this wasn't a 3D animated fish on an iPad.
No.
Okay.
And it's a symptom of this Sam, what's his name? Elias or something. I forget his name, but the creator of the show is a bit of a code monkey himself, right? He understands technology, and so when he's writing these things, he gets it.
This is Unix. I know this.
Yeah, exactly.
So
I'm gonna say Mr. Robot's better, but
okay,
it's
you're starting
it's better in
we're
my
splitting
mind.
Fine hairs, but I liked it better as well. Is Narcos better?
Yeah.
Is Daredevil
better? It also has that freshness. I don't think Daredevil's
better. Good, because I was about to say fuck you.
Okay.
I'm a little uncomfortable with Narcos being better than Mad
But
Men.
We're gonna debate it further. Yeah.
Mr. Robot better than Leftovers? No.
Not even close.
Okay. So
I think we know where we're gonna fall on Leftovers.
Yeah, I wonder who's gonna win. Okay. So now let's see if we're comfortable with this. Is Mr. Robot better than Narcos? We both think yes, yeah?
So I remember you having some complaints about Narcos when you first started watching it.
Just that I'm so familiar. I think it's just because I'm so familiar with the material that I found myself, like, where a lot of people are just blown away by what Pablo was doing. I'm like, I know all of this.
His turn on the government. Or his turn from government into full-on gangster. Both of those turns, right?
But as he
from
got really to government in depth, like, but what I started to really admire is, again, like, and Show Me the Hero has a lot of this stuff too, but the fact that anyone tries when there's, I mean, Show Me the Hero, no one's getting murdered, but you do, it's a thankless task. Governing, if you take it seriously, is a thankless task that gets you ground up, and in Colombia, it can get you dead.
Yeah.
So I thought as they explored, you know, I got it from the Pablo side, but like seeing like from the national police and from the army and from the politicians and just how courageous these people are.
I feel like they should have been called Show Me a Hero.
Like, yeah. No.
Because they show you multiple heroes. These
and also the fact that also now that, you know, my thoughts on the war on drugs and how that all like it's just it got more and more interesting as it went along. Whereas I think a lot of people are oohing and aahing just on the whole Pablo Escobar phenomenon, I thought it got more interesting as I started getting into perspectives I had not already considered. Because I've read the Mark Bowden book. I've seen the documentaries. And the other thing is, like, this guy didn't look anything like Pablo Escobar. But by the end of the series, he is Pablo Escobar, man.
Yeah, it didn't matter.
And, like, I love the fact that, like, he's the first pothead I've ever met that's also a sociopath. And incredibly violent. Like he gets blazed out of his mind, and instead of getting a bag of Cheetos and watching you know, Next Friday, he plots murder and government takeovers. That was super interesting too. Like he's like this really almost communist socialist hippie that's also a bloodthirsty drug dealer and tyrant.
I did get into some of the stories of the law enforcement guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
I got into that side of it too. Thought they were the philosophies that they were espousing were interesting, even if I don't necessarily agree with.
Plus, Prince Oberyn as a DEA agent,
he was great. Yeah,
pretty good. Okay.
Whereas Mr. Robot, like, did Narcos fall down at all? I say no.
It didn't fall down, but I don't think it swung for defenses like Mr. Robot did. And also, it's telling a story that exists. So I feel like the degree of difficulty of nailing that is easier automatically than an original screenplay.
So how do you reconcile the current ranking with the idea that you kind of hated the main villain of Mr. Robot? Can you...
Again, because I liked everything else about Mr. Robot... My biggest thing with Mr. Robot is I think that main villain should have just been gone and it'd been a much stronger show. But it didn't do enough to take away just that, you know, Elliot is such an original character and he felt so fully realized, and the way he explained what it's like to live with a person of that condition, that felt very real to me, and his personal relationships and
the way they played with your perception of events too.
Yeah, I mean, I will say that I did smoke out what was going on, and maybe that's one of the reasons I felt like it let off the gas towards the end, is I felt like I had cracked Mr. Robot's code. But like,
yeah,
that scene where he's having all the delusions and the dreams when he's on heroin withdrawal, I mean, that's a great, great episode.
Yeah, I want to say that was
it's pretty early on.
I was reading an article about somebody had drawn inspiration for that, but I can't remember who. Yeah, it was.
So I
felt like it opened extremely strong. I mean, even first scene.
Right.
The first scene is amazing.
I just think Narco's ceiling is not as high as Mr. Robot's.
And I thought it got also very interesting at the end, where you kind of see the philosophy of the people from the other side, of the bankers and stuff, like when dude kills himself.
Yeah.
The stuff that came right before that.
Yeah.
The philosophy he's espousing to, what's her name? Amanda or something? Yeah. Samantha. Yeah.
Amanda Seyfried. The poor man's version.
I thought some of the stuff he was saying there was interesting, even if I don't like agree with it.
Huh.
It's an interesting perspective. I guess I'm okay keeping those there.
Okay. What about Mad? Is Narcos better than Mad? We already talked about that. Is Mad Men better than Daredevil?
I mean, we've kind of talked generally, just like see the pants about all this, right?
Yeah. Well, we still have the actual award show. So I don't, the top 10, like I'm more interested in getting it right than defending it right now. But yeah, I mean, whatever.
You're more concerned with, should these be in the top 10?
Yes. Because I feel like we're going to give spirit the defenses.
Okay, so let's make a case, I guess, for a top 10, not like, should this be better than... Because I feel like where you're going to run into a problem is like 10, 9, 10, 11, 12, right?
Okay, which isn't as important to me.
Yeah, so that's
so
where you start.
Is Narcos better than Mad Men? I don't think it is. That's the one thing. I would put Mad Men up. I'd slide
Yeah, I mean,
up.
I'm not trying to make a list here. Narcos definitely belongs in the top 10.
Sure.
Like, I mean, if we just rank these by what we think of them, we're not going to have a pool of nominees. We're just going to have the fucking
top 10. That's kind of what we're doing here,
top 10.
Honestly.
Well, like, when we fucked up.
But I mean, I think this year The Leftovers is, in our opinion, it's not a universal one, but The Leftovers is so much higher than everything else that it's kind of a farce what we're doing. Like, oh, the nominees are blah, 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 but it's The Leftovers.
I guess. I mean, but if you got to get it to a top 5, but it won't be on the other categories, right?
Like, yeah, sure. But I still like I the only way we're going to get the top 10 right is to make sure that we've got the orders right, I think. So is Narcos better than Mad Men? I don't think it is. I think the degree of difficulty of wrapping Mad Men up in a satisfying bow and the almost universal sense that they did that is makes it better than Narcos. Disagree?
No, I don't necessarily disagree. I'm trying to thinking, like, is there an obvious top 10 here to me?
Well, let's just work our process. Is Daredevil better than Narcos? God damn, look at all the Netflix shit that's in the top 10 so far. That's kind of impressive.
They put out a lot of good shows this year.
Is Narcos better than Daredevil?
Who would have thought there'd be a USA show in there?
Shh.
Narcos is not better than Daredevil.
Ooh, see, I'd say it is.
Like, Daredevil was a strange exception for me because, like I said, I started background watching that and was like,
"You probably got
that. I can't do this. I can't." Like, it was the beginning of episode 2 where they start talking about his dad and stuff, and I was like, "I'm in."
Yeah.
100%. And with Narcos, I kind of went in thinking, you know what, I'm going to watch this all. And so there wasn't that experience, which to me says Daredevil is higher because it hooked me in a way that I didn't expect to be hooked.
Which got higher highs?
I think Daredevil. I mean, that episode 2 and whatever the Kingpin, I think it's episode 8.
Mm-hmm.
his backstory. I think there's such an amazing symmetry there between these two main characters, and the things that have led them to become the people they are.
See, I think the Kingpin didn't necessarily work totally for me.
I can understand that.
I found it hard to completely understand his point of view and his character.
And I think there was some stuff in the syndicate part of that that was not amazing.
Yeah.
But if you're asking me highest highs, I'm saying Daredevil Episode 2 and Daredevil Episode 8 are better than probably anything I saw in Narcos.
All right, let me ask you this. Is Better Call Saul better than either Daredevil or Narcos? I know, man. This is a sting on the ass.
I really loved Better Call Saul after the speed bump that is Episode 2.
I did, too. It was surprising.
And it had moments that shocked me.
And the emotion and the twists and turns you take with his relationship with his brother and Kim...
And the sheer joy of watching it, the way we felt about whatever
the pretty boy was.
Yeah, Hamlin.
Hamlin, there you go.
Harry Hamlin.
Yeah.
That's the thing, the sheer joy of that scene where he goes in dressed as Hamlin and has this debate on whether or not he can use the billboard he wants to use. It's amazing. Like, that roller coaster ride is so much fun.
Yeah.
In a way that I don't think Daredevils or Narcos or Mad Men.
To say nothing of the stuff
where
they had with Mike.
That's right.
Like, they didn't have to have Mike have any kind of pathos. They could have just had him be Jonathan Banks and funny and a foil to, and they did. Mm-hmm. So, I don't, but man, is it better than Daredevil? I guess, I think it is. I think it's better than Narcos.
As far as my favorite, yeah, I'm throwing it. It's moving up a few spots.
That's the thing where I feel like that's the big that's so far the biggest problem I've had is I think Better Call Saul. I think it belongs at number four, right between Mad Men and Narcos. Agree, disagree? Does that feel good for Seat of Pants purposes?
I mean, Seat of Pants tells me it probably belongs at three, but
better than Mad Men?
Yeah. If I'm coming at it, so like that's the thing. Like, which am I going to value more here?
Yeah.
The fun roller coaster ride that is Better Call Saul, or the kind of steady churning
spiritual journey of Don Draper's
exactly.
soul.
And it's I don't think fair to say, oh well, one is clearly better than the other.
Yeah,
because they're such different things.
Yeah, yeah. This is the futility of making lists like this.
Well, this is also kind of why we wanted to do the nominees and then the winner, right? Because you can say this had it all, whereas. Yeah.
I mean,
but,
and this year's is a weird year that you're essentially everyone's running for second, you know, runner up
in this category. Yeah.
Which is the most important category. So
I don't know why you'd say that.
Better Call Saul better than you think it's better than Mad Men. Okay. I think so too.
It's more my favorite than Mad Men. How about that?
Better than Mr. Robot.
Nah.
Okay. I agree. Okay.
Jessica, are we back to Jessica Jones?
Jessica Jones, we know it's we agree it's not as good. It's more ambitious than Daredevil, but ultimately less successful.
Yep. I think it's fine where it is.
I don't now. Is Show Me a Hero better than Jessica Jones? I think it is.
Yeah, I'm kind of leaning
that
way too.
That's the other thing I would put over here.
Me this about Jessica Jones, because I may have missed this.
Uh-huh.
Her friend, the news anchor or whatever. Yeah. Why is she practicing martial arts and trying to become a badass?
I can't remember.
I feel
God
like
damn.
They never explained that.
I feel like they did. Like, she had a scary fan experience.
So she did. She did. At a bar, like, she got hit on by this guy who was less than cool about things.
Yeah.
And then Jessica Jones bets him, hey, if I can beat you at this punching machine, you gotta, like, fuck off and die.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I'll go out with you or go sleep with you or something.
Yeah. And she, and then like some, that reaction of that. And also the fact that she was always telling Jessica, you should use your gifts and like all this. I think there was something there.
They didn't do enough character building on her.
This is where I wish
if I
podcasted, I could tell you exactly, but watching it.
And I may have missed it sort of background.
I mean,
half watching
me,
it.
That's like, the thing. Like, that's the reason, like, I feel like Jessica Jones, we might be too hard on it because man, all I wanted to do is see the next Jessica Jones. Mm-hmm. Until late in the season. And even then, I needed to see what happened to the Killgrave, even though there was a couple decisions that just lost me.
Yeah, I never quite connected the dots on her friend, which is another flaw in my opinion, but it may not be a flaw. It might be my flaw in viewing it.
Yep. Okay, so I think Show Me Heroes is obviously better than Jessica Jones.
Okay, I'm with you.
I don't think The Americans is better than Jessica Jones, especially for me.
Yeah, so
and they
both play with interesting themes.
Yeah.
I think the stuff that they did on second viewing with this young girl timed simultaneously with Paige being, like, them having pressure put on them to bring Paige into this organization. Mm-hmm. And, like, the idea that this may someday happen to her, right? Or she may have to do the things that Philip is considering doing here.
And you finished the season?
I finished the whole thing. And I thought...
Did Philip, there's no way you can have a main character have sex with a 15-year-old girl.
Like, made out with her for 5 seconds, but that was it. And he kept finding ways, like, oh, look, I can't do this because of whatever reason. A couple of times he did that to try and get more information out of her, but keep her at arm's length. He actually is funny. He uses the excuse that he's given himself over to Christ, which is, you know, exactly what Paige was doing that season.
Sure.
That was one of her ways of lashing out at her parents.
But that's the thing.
He was this cool
dude that's providing teenagers with marijuana, but he's saving himself for Christ. That's
it had a better build up than just, hey.
Okay. But I'm saying, like, I can't see how that would play with
it plays from the other side because it's kind of ironic that he's so angry about this church thing and he's battling Elizabeth about it.
Of course.
And then he's going to use that as an excuse. And then he uses another. I thought a lot of the themes that they touched on and the way that they introduced them and kind of juxtaposed them with what Philip's doing, what Elizabeth is doing, and kind of their internal struggle over it. I thought that was, you know, setting it up as one parent wants it, one parent doesn't.
Yeah.
And they go a lot more in-depth on why Elizabeth is so gung-ho about it.
Uh-huh.
Because her mother was, like, when she said, hey, go do this, I'm going to go be this spy, her mother was like, yeah, absolutely. That is the best thing you could possibly do. So I feel like there was a good backstory there, too.
Is The Americans better than Jessica Jones? I say no, because I noped out of Americans, but then you noped out of Jessica Jones in the penultimate episode, so.
So I feel like you're going to weight this one a lot, because I will say that I thought the first
if you're not willing to fight for Americans, then yeah.
I think it is, but I can see why you wouldn't. Because The Americans, plot-wise, doesn't fall down on itself. And I feel like Jessica Jones does.
You told me that I had seen the best parts of The Americans, though.
No, not quite. I mean, you've seen a lot of the best parts.
I mean, there are
but the stuff with Philip and that girl gets a little bit better.
I mean, there's some twisted shit that appealed to me just in the voyeuristic sense of the word. Like, I still think of, when you think of horrifying images in 2015... them shoving that woman...
breaking her limbs...
into a duffel bag is fully fucked. But
it
wasn't fun. Like, it felt very snuff. It felt very Human Centipede. It felt very... who's that fucker that played the Bear Jew and Eli Roth? And that's my kryptonite. I don't like that unpleasantness with the no point.
So there were a couple of other plot lines in there that I don't know if you remember, but like Stan's stuff with his wife was in there where he's trying to do this S thing to get her back. Not honestly doing it at first, but then later on in the season, he ends up kind of seeing a point and a value and her point in it less than this is going to help me. But like, oh, I see why she's done the things
she's
done.
What happens to the young son and the relationship with her? Because he was getting the hots for the whatever the FBI agent's
young
wife.
Harry or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
Philip and
Elizabeth.
Nothing.
Really?
They don't go anywhere with that.
Huh.
Real dumb. Hmm. Like, why bring it up?
Well, I mean, I could see a kid like that doing something like that.
Yeah, but what's the point? Like, why are you showing it to me if you're not going to do anything with it?
Yeah.
So I feel like it fell down there a little bit. But the other thing was, like, the spy thing. Or this defector thing gets pretty interesting.
Really?
But, like, you haven't seen it, so
okay.
What can I tell you about it?
So is it better than Jessica Jones? You're not going to fight for it, so I don't think it's going to be.
I mean, I can fight, but you would just say,
do you want to? Do you want to fight for it over Jessica Jones?
Not... man, I wish Jessica Jones had a better plot. I really do.
It's pacing. Like, honestly, if you could destroy those two episodes that threw you off of it, you wouldn't have missed anything.
And fill me in a little bit more on her friend.
Because the end of, you could cleanly have it. Like, I didn't mind the second time he got out of their grasp. And the end result is the same. He's in the wind. So I feel like you could just take those two episodes, wad them up, throw them away. Now, there'd be some bizarre, you know, with the redhead and twin and
Trinity and
the former junkie that was recovering. Like, they have a weird relationship that I'm also like, why? I don't like this person. I don't really like this other person. Cut that stuff out, too. But the season would be immeasurably stronger if you got rid of that almost fatal flaw.
But I like a lot of the topics that it deals with, right? This idea of consent,
yeah.
This idea of control over your own actions.
And I thought Jessica Jones as the central character was pretty impressive too.
Yeah.
The action, I was really kind of let down by some of the action sequences.
After seeing Daredevil, hard not
to be. It gets good towards, like, I thought the final well, you didn't see that. You didn't see
Really?
Her throw down to Luke Cage. Because that's like the set penultimate episode, or maybe even the finale.
Why do they fight? Where do they fight?
It's like Kilgrave turns Luke Cage against her. Mind controls him.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
That was pretty good. And also, I thought that some of the fight between her and the Red Pill dude was pretty good, too. Like, the cop was taking the experimental super soldier drugs. Like, anytime she was able to fight on a fair footing, I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah.
But, you know, she's super strong, and there's not that many people in Hell's Kitchen that are.
I thought it was fun to watch them fight, like, a bar full of just mooks.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, especially
them tear ass through that bar. Yeah.
Yeah, that was entertaining. And also, just like, man, some of that stuff, like, when they had a flashback where she had a split second to jump off a building to free herself from Kilgrave. Like, his attention was turned. Like, man, there's just some really fucked up in a good way stuff with Jessica Jones. And I found myself thinking about it days afterwards, some of those situations.
Yeah, and I think it gives you... So, obviously, I don't think this is going to surprise anybody. It's an allegory for rape.
Yeah.
I don't think they make any bones about that.
Yep.
But it gives you, I think, a lot of perspective, talking as a man here, mm-hmm. a lot of perspective on what that must feel like.
Sure.
You know, stuff that maybe you hadn't considered before. Kind of in a way that Sense8 does as well. So I feel like the part where it hits really well and thematically, but.
I mean, because they show, because the rape is this violation of your personal integrity and autonomy. And that's what Kilgrave does.
Doing something you have no choice.
And I feel like by showing that through so many different prisms, how children, women, men.
Sure. And that's the thing that started to bring me into it. It's like,
yeah.
I get that this happens. Showing it from like a man's perspective too was an interesting
twist. It really revs up the empathy, yeah. Like, I don't think it takes a lot of empathy to feel for a rape victim, but
absolutely. I'm just saying that particular perspective is one that is hard to get.
Yeah.
In the real world.
Yeah.
So it's interesting.
Yeah. And I thought that David Tennant just wow.
Yeah.
Wow. The fact that I was
he's great.
Not exactly empathizing with him, but understanding how he got into his position.
Yeah, and almost felt sorry for him at one point. Like, when he realizes he could do good and that his life has conditioned him not to.
Yeah.
And then like, his resentment
and
of
then
his
he's
parents.
He's betrayed by Jessica at that point. But, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any way to redeem that guy, man, is the thing.
Yeah, it'd be tough.
I wish you'd finished it. I think you should finish it. Because just pretend
maybe
the last two episodes didn't exist. Finish the last two episodes. And because I would really love to discuss how the Jessica Jones universe is left at the end of the season.
Okay.
So
I guess
is
they're
Game
in the
of
right
Thrones
order.
Better than the Americans? I want to say yes, because I really, really didn't like the Americans.
So make a defense and I will see what I think.
Game of Thrones was more fun to watch. And Hard Home was fucking rad. Like, do you remember the
zombie
battle and the
I do.
The Ice King
there was
raising all those dead dudes and Jon shattering one with Longclaw? Like, Valerian's still what? Yeah, no, there's my defense.
There was some really good stuff. Like, I found the stuff with Cersei fascinating and infuriating at the same time. The dance
she was doing with religion and those politics and thinking she was had a handle on it and, you know, not.
And the journey to Meereen, the journey Ferris, with Ferris.
Varys, Varys and Tyrion, Roadshow, super entertaining. Arya, amazing. What about all the stuff in Arya and the House of Black? Come on, it's better than Americans.
It's better than Americans.
Okay. Like, honestly.
Americans, you're in trouble here.
Honestly, other than some shitty dragon work and Dorne, which was, again, self-inflicted gunshots, I thought.
You're right.
We would be talking about that. Now, okay, here again. Fargo, it's got to be better than Americans, right?
Do we want to talk about Game of Thrones and Jessica Jones?
Ooh,
they rhyme.
Is Game of Thrones better than Jessica Jones?
Jessica Thrones.
I don't think. Oh God, it's so close. It's so close. And the thing is I want to fight for these last few because we're getting to the cutoff, man. We're getting to the cutoff for award show recognition. So let me ask you this. People that are Bald New fans and they're listening to our year-end wrap-up and not everyone's seen everything that we've seen, if they had to choose between seeing The Americans or seeing Fargo, what should they see? Oh, wait, I'm sorry. If they had the choice between seeing Game of Thrones or seeing Jessica Jones, what should they see?
Game of Thrones. You're going to talk to more people about Game of Thrones.
Well, that's not what I was wanting. I'm saying, like, for them to be complete as a television watcher.
Oh, as a human being? Oh.
Yeah, like, which is a better, you know, if you could turn someone on to either Game of Thrones or Jessica Jones, I guess I'd say Jessica Jones, because I feel like no one needs to be turned on to Game of Thrones. It's shouted from the fucking rooftops, but that's not exactly a valid way to do an award show either.
Sure, and I would say the rebuttal to that would be, well, Game of Thrones season 2 and 3 were really, really strong.
Yeah, 2 had the dragon. Where are my dragons?
I mean, they're all Blackwater. Yes, I mean,
they're all really, really strong. There's no weak out season of Game of Thrones, but there's definitely off seasons, especially when you had the tour de force that was 3 and 4.
Sure. I will say this. I don't think Game of Thrones approaches its topics thematically with quite as much subtlety, or not subtlety. Jessica Jones is not subtle, but with as much nuance, I guess.
Well, as Game of Thrones, I mean, if you're talking about referendum on using rape in fiction, because that's the other hot mess.
There's that, yeah.
The whole Sansa plotline up in Winterfell.
And Cersei and Jaime, I think there is some.
That was last season, but sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But as a whole.
I think I'm fine with Jessica Jones being better than Game of Thrones.
I mean, I didn't enjoy Jessica Jones as much as Game of Thrones, but that's just me. And it sounds like you did.
No, I mean, I would also be fine with Jessica. These things are almost interchangeable for me. Like, I feel like they're at the right level, and it's. I'd probably put Game of Thrones above Jessica Jones, and you're saying you would too?
Well, yeah, then. I mean, if you say you would, because I say I would. Just sheer entertainment, I enjoyed watching the process of watching Game of Thrones more than Jessica Jones. But
the other thing is, I don't know. Maybe Game of Thrones is worse than I thought, because now I'm thinking about it. Dorne was a hot mess. Sansa was a hot mess.
You didn't like the stuff with the Boltons and what's his name on his way to Winterfell?
I didn't mind them both. I thought
and Littlefinger. Like, I thought there's some interesting stuff there with Littlefinger's manipulation.
Yeah. It's just mainly the same. It's like, I feel like, of course, I don't know what's coming with the Winds of Winter. Nobody does. But I just felt like, and that's the other thing, is as a book reader, I felt like not only was the, you know, Game of Thrones has currently, in my mind, a problem dealing with, you know, the whole subject of rape. And Jessica Jones did such a great job of analyzing the issue that I feel like I feel weird putting it above it.
How entertained were you by Jessica Jones? Because that's got to be a factor.
Yeah, I thought it was binge watching at its finest until...
I mean, were you having fun with it? Because I never had fun with Jessica Jones, really. Like, some stuff was, you know, Kristen Ritter was funny. Chuckles, but...
I didn't have a lot of fun watching Game of Thrones, either.
I don't know. Maybe Tyrion and Varys thing tickled me more than it should have. And
Bronn
and Jaime were fun to watch. Like, the entertainment value, I think...
They were fun, but their plot line was garbage.
Yeah.
Hot garbage.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's just let that... So, it seems like...
I lean towards Game of Thrones being 8, Jessica Jones being 9, but that's just me.
Okay.
I will acquiesce if you say no to that.
I guess, go along with that, because I can't think of a good defense of why.
Because, I mean, you want to talk about hot garbage plot lines...
No, you're right.
Fucking
you're not
Jessica
right.
Jones had some hot garbage.
You're not right.
They plucked that plot line right out of a dumpster.
But their hot garbage plot lines didn't have anything to do with raping a teenage girl.
That's true.
So far, is Americans better than Fargo? I say no. In fact, did I make a defense for Justified being better than Fargo? I don't think I can.
Not really. Not in any depth.
We're fighting for the number 10 spot here. I think Fargo needs to go above the Americans and probably Justified too.
So Fargo had a few real standout episodes to me that I don't think the Americans had in the same way.
I agree.
But then again, I thought thematically I liked Americans better.
Experience with the previous two seasons of the Americans, the jaw drop stuff always came late in the season.
Yeah, and I didn't really feel like there was a lot of that this time.
Okay, so Fargo and Justified,
I guess,
better than the Americans?
The jaw drop on the Americans is that Paige eventually forces her parents to come out with it, and they do, and she knows that they're
a
spy.
How does she react, or is that to be seen in season 4?
She clams up. She goes in her bedroom and lays in the fetal position for like 3 episodes.
Okay. Well, that sounds like great watching.
Yeah, right? Well, she tries to decide what to make of it. That's the thing. Like, I think...
Okay. So, Fargo and Justified better than Americans. You want to fight me on that?
There's something in there. So, Fargo fell on its fucking face, I thought, in episode 9.
Yep, totally. But that's, you know...
The Americans never does, but... Thematically,
Fargo
was
really good in the first 8 episodes.
Yeah, and I had way more fun.
And I thought the finale for as far in my estimation as it fell in that single episode, the finale did a lot of clawing back to the good.
And there were a couple of episodes of Fargo that just really did it.
Sure.
For me.
I mean,
like,
it was
that kidnapping episode with Dodd.
It won the week twice during the best show that we've seen. That ain't nothing.
Yeah, it's got to go above Americans, even though it did trip on its dick on the way out the door.
What about Justified?
Justified versus the Americans.
Did Justified
Damn
have a
it.
Single bad episode that season? I thought every one of them was fun.
Justified is so much fun.
Maybe there was a couple with... I remember being frustrated with how everything was going with Ava. And her acting. But I also think that Ava herself was extremely conflicted in that situation. And that's what kind of eventually, like, I think Ava, Raylan, and Boyd all plausibly really until the very final few episodes didn't know what the right thing to do was in a lot of those circumstances.
It did bog down a little bit. Occasionally with Ava there. But did Fargo bog down at all? I didn't feel like it really did.
There was one episode where we said, I remember thinking that this is a scene setting episode, but that's not that you can't penalize shows for
sure
setting up plot for the next few mind blowing episodes. You just like everything, even
you can penalize them for wasting time. And I feel like Ava started to approach wasting time territory.
Sure.
Like, we know you need to make a decision on Boyd and she just refused to make it. Time after time. You know what?
We also thought that the government put pressure. We also thought that that was pretty unrealistic. The fact that she had so much pressure put on her to go to Boyd and flip evidence on him instantly, and like that was like a no-win position, yeah. And like I make a case for Fargo above Americans. I
and
don't
there was
know
some
about
shit
Justified.
With Hezekiah or Ezekiel or whatever his name was.
It's Hezekiah,
not killing Boyd when he had the chance and just hoping that a fucking
Kaven would do it.
Although he didn't want to give it away, but because the stooge was standing around. You know what? Here's my 9 and 10. Jessica Jones Fargo.
Okay, that's what I was going for. I can't make an argument that Justified's better. I want to make that argument, but I haven't seen Americans.
Fargo's so entertaining, and I thought thematically they really went for it.
Oh, shit. What'd I just do?
Nothing, I don't think.
I lost something, didn't I? Okay. Here's what I need to start doing is going up here and being like, it's still not working. Okay, so... Right? And then You don't want to put Justified above the Americans?
It doesn't matter.
I kind of want to... See, that's the thing. Is I kind of want to put Nick above... Because the Nick was really good, and I'm a couple episodes behind yet. But the Nick was really freaking good this year, too.
So what are the things you liked about the Nick?
First of all, the turn of the century medical technology. And the, like...
The horror show that it is.
and how, like, the public health crises, like, that you're actually on the front lines, like, you got inspectors on the front lines fighting things like malaria and syphilis and typhoid fever, and what do you do when you have these massive influx of it's also, it says so many things about the immigration crisis. Like... Hmm. You know, Donald Trump notwithstanding, Mexicans aren't carrying a contagious disease that are killing hundreds of thousands of people into our major cities.
Sure.
That was actually going on. You know, and also the backdrop of amongst the intellectually elite that eugenics was considered a good idea. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like there was still like scientific basis for racism and... But there's also like the beginnings of like, you know, a lot of progressive policies, and it's again the medical technology advancing, and the fact that you've got this doctor who's recovering from a cocaine and then heroin and opium addiction, which seems very tropey, but it's actually more interesting, largely because, you know, again, this Soderbergh does this whole thing. Like he wrote it, directed it, shot it, edited it, like. It's kind of a tour de force. You really need... I mean, it's impressive. It's impressive.
I do need to check it out, yeah.
It's just very impressive, and it's very just, like, gorgeous to look at. Like, there's nothing that really looks like it on television.
Okay.
And occasionally, they'll surprise you with bad... And there's this one character who's this greedy, money-grubbing, skullduggery fucker bureaucrat, and it's so endlessly entertaining to watch him get himself into situations and fail. It's pretty good.
Are you gonna make an argument that it should be on the top 10? And top 10 is not even our list. We're doing top 5 for the nominees.
It's really hard. I don't know, man. It's not gonna touch the top 5, and it's hard for me to try to push something that you haven't seen on, like.
Sure, I mean the same
and
problem.
And also,
I have with
it's
the
like
Americans,
it's
right?
At the quality level where, like, honestly, except for the Americans, which I don't even know I'd put it on anywhere on this list, if I'm being brutally honest, and that's a very controversial. But Justified the
it's
Nick,
a very personal opinion. Sure.
I think House of Cards should be below Penny Dreadful. I think maybe, to me, Banshee. After Justified, I'd have the Nick, Penny Dreadful, True Detective, Banshee, and the Nick in some order. Probably Nick higher, Banshee higher, but Penny Dreadful's really good too. But yeah, I don't know.
So this is not going to make it to the top 5. Absolutely, I'm certain of it.
So are we kind of cool with the way things are right here?
I think Sense8 belongs significantly higher on this list. I don't think
so. How much higher? Is it better than Justified?
No, it's not.
Okay, but, so it's in that slush zone that I'm at with the other, my
but
shows.
But I think it might be better than House of Cards. It probably, in fact, okay. is. Almost certainly is better than House of Cards. Maybe better than Justified, but it's not going to make it to the top five. So the thing I love about Sense8...
Is it better than Bloodlines?
Yeah, definitely.
Sense8's better than Bloodlines?
Yeah.
Better than True Detective Season 2?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, thematically, what it's going for is so... powerful and so important, kind of along the lines of Jessica Jones,
okay,
that I think it deserves to at least be talked about,
okay,
during the deliberation process.
Should we have some honorable mention categories of things that we want people to watch that are not in the top five? Like, that's where
I
we
think
could stump
so, yeah.
for Jessica Jones, where we could stump for Sense8.
Like, I almost feel like we should have some kind of social
like,
awareness
I don't want to stump
category.
For Justified. If you weren't a fan of Justified coming in final season, don't watch it. It's not going to make your life... If you're a fan of Justified, then you've already seen it. Like,
yeah, you're right.
You know?
But with these new shows like Sense8, like Jessica Jones, like there's a case to be made as to why you would want to start on a season one.
Yeah, agreed.
Man, losing my voice here. We've done so much podcasting today.
Do we want to go on to try to solve the commentary? I feel like we could bang out the rest of these. And then
do we have a category for these? Because I would like to throw Sense8 into some sort of honorable, like some sort of maybe you should watch.
Do you
this.
Want me to bold the stuff that's not in the top five that people might not have? God damn, man. There's a lot of stuff in the top. I feel maybe we should do top 10 nomination. Maybe we should open up for best show top 10. And then we have.
You'd like that, wouldn't you? It'd make your job much easier.
Okay.
Because
so,
I feel like we have a good top 10. What I don't feel confident in is the top
agreed.
Five. Like, there's another division.
Really?
Like, I don't know.
You
that
think
those...
their top five is not the top five it should be? Because I would love to hear
your
arguments.
Okay,
for that.
As a pool, like the thing that scares me is that Daredevil did not make that top five. But I honestly don't know that I could argue it against
I'm
anything
same
else
way.
On that list.
I'm same way. And top 10 in this year is pretty fucking... Like, none of these shows in the top 10 are garbage. In fact, the ones
I'm
going to
throw Show Me a Hero on the honorable mention.
Okay.
Because I think that's something that a lot of people aren't going to give a chance.
And it will... Like The Wire before it, it will make sense of so much of the what goes on in politics. Like, it won't give you a solution, but you'll understand why it's fucked up.
Yeah.
And that's kind of helpful.
And it might actually show you that a little patience might be worth it.
Sure.
Given the final two episodes, which, god damn it, I wish you had seen those.
All right.
But
I might.
What are you going to do?
Yeah, I don't know. Jessica Jones.
Yeah, that's an
you
want to
talk
mention.
Another honorable mention?
I don't have anything else that you should probably see.
Sense8. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's it.
All right, comedy. Silicon Valley is better than Brink.
So we've got our top five, right?
I think so. The top five feels solid. That's not everybody's top five.
That's
and,
our pool.
And I wouldn't go to war with anybody in the top 10 if you wanted to. Now, outside of top 10.
You
want to
like italics those and say, this is the pool, and we're going to come back and pick the top one. I mean, we already know the top one.
That's the thing. It's ridiculous.
There's no point in arguing. Leftovers absolutely 100% is
for
our
us.
Top show this year.
This is the Baldies. It's
our
not
favorite
everybody
thing we saw this year.
Yep. Okay, how about the comedies? The Brink is Jesus. Let's play this. Is The Brink better than Silicon Valley?
Fuck
no.
No. Get
Archer?
Out of town.
No.
I don't think I saw Archer this year.
Oh, you didn't?
Frankly. There's a lot of this comedy stuff that I haven't
seen. Did you
see
the Miami Vice season of Archer?
Yeah.
But you hadn't seen when they returned to Spycraft?
I don't think so.
Okay.
No.
All right. Then I'll say no. Louis, I don't think you saw this season of Louis either.
No.
I'll take
and
it.
I haven't seen most of this season of Key and Peele.
Okay. Orange, no. All
I haven't
Sunny,
seen that.
No.
This
Rick
I've
and
seen.
Morty,
Rick
hell,
and Morty
no.
I've seen.
Parks and Rec, no.
I haven't seen that.
Nah, The Brink was...
I think The Brink was. Might
it's an
be,
okay show. It's the ballers of comedy.
Yeah. It's I guess, if you didn't have three other shows on at the same time, worth watching. I honestly had more fun with Ballers as a comedy, frankly.
Okay, let's work it up from the bottom now. Okay. Is Ash vs. the Evil Dead better than Parks and Rec? Did you see all of Parks and Rec?
No.
Fuck you,
I haven't
man.
Seen any of the final season.
Oh, wow. Pretty good. Pretty good. It had a lot of heart and a lot of big laughs.
So I've seen a lot of Parks and Rec.
Okay.
And I think if you were to describe to me the endings for all these characters, I might be able to either go with it or not.
Like the fact that, like, what they did with Jerry, who was the whipping boy of the entire season, Larry, Gary, Jerry. Brilliant. Where he arguably had the best ending of anyone, which always was like, Jerry in the what in Parks and Rec was everyone's whipping boy, but out in his house, he was bawling. He's married to Christy Brinkley. He had like three beautiful daughters. He had a picturesque, beautiful home. He is financially secure. He got to do everything on his bucket list. Like the fact that they can take the whipping boy character that's usually an annoying son of a bitch that everyone hates, and that's how the show treated him, but everyone watching the show felt sorry for Larry.
Yeah,
Gary.
Yeah, that's
Jerry.
The beauty of it. Sure.
Yeah, no, I mean,
I thought everybody was an asshole for telling that. Can you pass me the room?
I personally love where they left everybody. There was not a single false moment.
How did Ben and I'm blanking
Leslie?
On the main character. Leslie, nope. How did they end up?
Yeah. Leslie was either the president or a Supreme Court justice.
The president of the United States of America?
Yeah. Or maybe a Supreme Court justice.
You don't think that jumped the show? How did she go from
Parks and Rec manager? They went way far in the future because this was almost like Jerry's story.
Oh.
So like, there's one particular episode where they went way far in the future.
Okay.
And so you got these like, you know, montages of this stuff, like where everybody was way in the future. So like, I don't know, is that an alternate reality? I don't know. There was
future I could see it, but going from a Parks and Rec manager or
I love that how they started the season where her and Ron hated each other and you didn't know why, and then eventually they put aside their differences, and there's a great April wanted to go to Washington with either Leslie or Ben, and that meant Chris had to say goodbye to his Johnny Karate TV show. And there was this great final episode where they had commercials, like in-universe commercials for, you know, whatever that Sweet Co. company is, and the Ron Swanson's Pretty Good Contracting had a commercial. And
sounds like they hit all the notes.
Yeah, they did.
Parks and Rec.
It was pretty great final season.
Because sometimes
one of my all time favorite comedies.
That's the thing. That show is funny, and it's also like really sweet in a sort of way.
In fact, I would have no problem going kabam kabam Silicon Valley Parks and Rec, except for this motherfucker right here.
You Rick and Morty. Always gumming up the works.
I could make an argument. Rick and Morty kicked my ass. I had no idea what to expect. It made me a Dan Harmon acolyte.
Yeah.
I joined the second cult in my life, and I could easily put it at the top of this list. But Silicon Valley was really fucking good, and so is Parks and Rec.
Rick and Morty, I just finished it last night, season 2.
Okay.
Wubba lubba dub dub.
I mean, peace among worlds, Jim. Peace among worlds.
Or the new Peace Among Worlds, wasn't it? Was a big fuck.
I mean,
yeah.
And the other thing is, so what did you think of the finale? Because I wasn't expecting them to pull out that much sincere. Like, he fucking communitied it.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't expect that much pathos and.
Yeah,
insight into the human character, and to actually start where they started to turn the corner, where Rick is not a complete shitbag.
Yeah, also they led you down that path, and I don't know if they're going to subvert it next season.
How fucked up was Keep Summer Safe?
Keep Summer Safe.
Keep Summer Safe.
The car episode.
Yeah, that was
that in the finale?
No, it was like
okay. The finale was the big wedding.
Yes,
with Bird Molly or whatever her name is.
The teenage heist. Yeah, yeah.
Where she turns out to be an investigator.
Because why not?
Government agent, and they have to
a lot
run,
of people got
run
squanched.
To a planet.
A lot of people got squanched.
Plenty, tons of people got squanched. Rick and Morty. Jesus, the themes that show plays with.
It's genius.
Are like nothing else I've ever seen.
Like morality, ethics, interdimensional.
Relationships, how you see other people, how they see you.
Yeah.
I thought there was... I'm struggling to remember where season two picked up at the very beginning.
It was a big
like
house
the demarcation.
Party, and they had to freeze time to return everything to normal before their parents got home. And they spent like 6 months in frozen time,
and
which then
stopped.
Led to the fracturing of time into like 64 dimensions, which they tracked simultaneously in frame.
Yeah, that was interesting.
And like
the Council brain
of
virus or the brain
oh
parasite
my
episode
God.
Was pretty amazing.
So good. So good.
And the commentary it gives you on relationships with
uh-huh.
other, with your friends
yeah.
and your family and everyone you've ever known.
Yeah.
Brilliant. I think that's
and the con- it, but the thing has, is like I feel like the concept is so good that I want to take away points because how you that's you can do any kind of any kind of show you want because it's animated in a universe where you've got the one major character is a super genius.
Uh-huh.
The other character is a giant dumbass, although plot thickens on that quite a bit. And the fact that there's no continuity until suddenly there's continuity.
Yeah.
And I mean
thematically this is better than anything on TV.
And I laughed harder at three or four moments in Rick and Morty than I've ever laughed at anything this year. And how can that not be the number one comedy?
I mean, Silicon Valley brought it this year.
And then
in
the
a
other
couple
thing is,
of kid,
I
like
season,
really funny episodes.
I consider season 1 and season 2 of Rick and Morty to be one unit because that's how I consumed it in.
That's a problem.
Also Danger did you finish Danger 5?
I finished the first season of that, and not the second.
And I don't even know.
I, wish
like,
I, had
I don't
gone
know
to
when
the
80s. That came because that deserves to be on this list too.
It does. If it came out this year, certainly.
Danger 5 is how do you? I mean, it fell off quite a bit in the second season.
Oh, really?
I don't know. I felt like some of the. I don't know. I can't even really say it fell off. I just really liked whatever the Eaglehead guy, Stormbridge, what was his name?
Their
colonel.
I can't even think of the name from Charlie's Angels.
Yeah.
Whatever the head dude
Charlie.
There was.
Hello.
Yeah, but they had a nickname for him, didn't they?
No. There's Bosworth, or Bosley?
Basil. Basil is who I'm thinking of. Yeah, that's not the same.
That's also not the guy from Charlie's Angels.
I know,
but,
I know.
But yeah, it's...
I want to say that Basil was the Danger Fives version of Charlie.
Yeah. But that was another binge on Netflix that was super fucking rewarding, and I'd never even heard of these guys.
You know what we also missed out on?
What?
But
it's like, when I think of Rick and Morty this year, I think of the Mr. Meeseeks episode, which happened in season one. And so it's like, yes, I had a multiple laughs, but that was also... But season two is really fucking good. Like, that Keep Summer Safe episode was also the episode where he goes inside his car battery...
Which is a universe
that he's harnessed all of the energy from to power his car, which also has another time. It's the damn man. It's a genius.
Yeah. How about
Needful Things, the devil episode where he beats the devil's ass with science. That was, I thought, really funny too.
Was that season two, wasn't it? It was very early on. It was either episode two or three. I think it was like two.
And there's highbrow humor, lowbrow. I mean, you can't get lowerbrow humor than someone's penis being fashioned into a heart transplant for an alien.
That's the thing. I mean, this show is
and Beth's
absolutely
reaction to that.
Insane.
Yeah,
right?
No,
I mean,
fully.
It is the zaniest, most ridiculous, out of nowhere comedy that uses that to great effect thematically.
Indeed.
And honestly, I might throw... I don't know. So Silicon Valley... Okay, let's leave that top three where it is now and come back.
I think Louis's better than Archer.
Okay. I'm going to have to trust you on that.
I think Key and Peele is better than... I personally enjoyed them better than all. Louis is even barely a comedy at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Orange is the New Black is better than Archer.
Wow. Archer not doing it for you this year.
Archer was really funny, but it's just... Like, these things, for me, and I'll put Key and Peele in there, reinvented what comedy even means. SNL should be on this list because SNL is quietly going through a resurgence.
I was
going to
ask you about that, yeah.
Why Always Sunny needs to be really high on this list.
Always Sunny needs to go up. It's not number 10, I'll tell you that.
Better than Danger 5?
I would assume so, but I haven't seen Danger 5.
I think you're right.
Always Sunny had a real good season.
Yes, yes, strong.
Between Wade Boggs and
there's
Ant-Man
nothing about
and,
I watched the entirety of...
was it Ant-Man or Birdman that was the long shot Charlie in the bar episode?
It's Charlie's work, or Charlie's Day, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, but what's the thing that it played with? Long one shot Birdman?
Did you ever see the Birdman movie?
No.
Oh, well.
No. But that episode is still works without having seen it. Having been told it's...
Yeah, I mean, Key and Peele probably better than Danger 5. Whoa, 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 I fucked up. Orange and New Black somehow.
It's everywhere.
This needs to be Always Sunny.
What about SNL? What are you doing with that?
I just wanted, because SNL is really good. It's uneven as hell, and it depends on who's on it. But, like, Kate McKinnon is fucking genius, and... Some of the new, like, they finally got, like, a significant number of black characters or black cast members. And, like, the possibilities that's opening up is amazing. Like,
okay.
You know, like, because there's so much kind of, like, literally tokenism before in years where it's, like, you could have Keenan, you know.
Yeah.
You could have one of these guys be the black guy.
Sure.
And... He was always that, like, you know, but now you can have like a real ensemble. I don't know. It's, I feel like,
how
the
are
cast...
they doing with their Asians and their Indians? And
not
their...
great.
Okay.
Not great, Jim.
All right.
But
I
it's 2015 and they finally got more than two black people in the cast at
there
one
you
time.
Go.
So,
yeah. You know. Which is probably more than you can say for a lot of these shows.
Sure.
Frankly.
And they got some of the
a
new
lot
guys.
A white heavy shows here.
Some of the new guys I'm not sure about. And, yeah. Like, still the Weekend Update hasn't. Gone back to form.
You know, one thing I'm kind of ashamed that I haven't watched yet is Empire.
Yeah.
I hear good things about it, and I don't know that it would, like,
Empire.
Make the top 10 necessarily, but, like,
would not.
I feel like I'm missing out culturally by not watching that show.
We got 2 weeks off coming pretty soon.
That's true.
Soon. And not a lot going on early
that. I also
either.
Haven't seen Penny Dreadful, which is right up my
You should.
Alley.
You should. Okay.
So SNL staying where it is then? Below Archer, even?
Yeah.
Below the stinky season that Archer,
no, it wasn't a stinky season. It was funny, but it had, you know, Archer started having it's got to the point where it's starting to have heart, and that always takes away the ha ha.
But so does Rick and Morty. It took away the ha ha, but the ha ha's were there was
I don't
so much ha ha.
The thing is I don't think Rick and Morty sacrifices the ha ha for the heart because it's still
same with Parks and Rec, right? Like Parks and Rec, that's the thing that always struck me about Parks and Rec is the heart mixed with the comedy.
Sure.
And I appreciate that. I don't like my shows to always be...
Unrelenting dreadfests.
Or even to just be comedy. I want that glimmer of humanity in there.
Yeah.
We somehow lost the 5 from Baldi's 2015. How did that happen?
I honestly couldn't tell you.
Can we... it doesn't matter. No, on the... Oh.
Oh, still didn't get it quite
still,
there.
We lost it. How did that even happen?
This is Baldi's 201. This is the advanced course in Baldi's, okay?
It is the second one we've done, so.
I don't know. I just now noticed it, though.
Me too. Anyway.
Because the way we assembled this screen is ghetto.
Next year. Next year we're coming back with full overlay, fancy bullshit.
Okay. Sure.
If I remember or care to.
Okay. I feel like that's pretty good top 10 list because I am not going to say Orange is Black.
You think that top 5 pool is
Orange and New Black is suffering the comedy category because it's got too much drama in it.
And would, like, it make it in the drama category?
No.
Okay, well, there you go.
Boy, Key and Peele's final season was so effing good, though.
Really?
I mean,
have you shown me from it? Because I know you've shown me a few.
I can't remember. Like, the phone, the telemarketer, did I show you that one? The reverse psychology telemarketer?
Oh, my God, that was amazing. That's fucking amazing.
Yeah. And the pitch meeting for Gremlins 2 was pretty tasty.
I don't think I saw that. I saw something... I saw a thing with Stan Lee, like one of them pretending to be Lee.
Yeah, he's pitching.
Was that from the final season?
I can't remember because it's another. It's like I watched almost the entirety of Key and Peele. But
it
is the final season, and I feel like it was right, you know, getting out the time that they did.
What about the brunch or breakfast thing where he just has this orgasmic?
The Continental? That might have been season four.
Okay, damn. Because I was going to say that was awesome.
That was really awesome too, and also, but that's I'm pretty sure. I wonder if there's a Wikipedia article where I could see all the skits, and I can tell you all the ones that were like, because there are very few like, oh, that wasn't funny.
You know, I think there's something fundamental about sketch shows that lose out to these scripted comedies, because they can't do the sort of thematic notes that those other shows can.
Sure. I agree.
And it's unfortunate, but I think it's a basic fundamental thing.
I will say that I've never seen such a high concept thing as Key and Peele executed. Like some of the stuff where they did parodies were so pitch perfect.
I saw their parody on a 90s action movie, which was unbelievably good.
Yeah. I'm going to try to think.
But I don't. That wasn't this season either. That was earlier, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot.
I know I've seen one or two.
Andre 3000 and Big Boys meeting in Starbucks. Pretty good.
I've heard about that. Did they have a Liam Neeson one this time? This season, or was that played out?
I don't know. They did that. They definitely had those characters, but I doubt they were talking about Liam Neeson.
Gotcha. Season 5.
Oh, the MC mom, the mom that makes a rap video for her son who's away for college. Pretty freaking good. The pitch meeting for Gremlins 2. So good. There's also an extended Neil deGrasse Tyson Cosmos spoof where he was winning fights with his wife by like turning to the camera and say, well, actually, if you think about the universe, and he'd go into his like cosmos bullshit about why he didn't sleep with the babysitter or how he didn't forget to go to the party that his wife was like, and she's always like, it's pretty good.
You know, come to think of it, I don't know that I've seen any of these season 5 ones.
All right. Well, shit. What are you
Which is unfortunate. I think I've seen I've seen like maybe 10 of their sketches.
Yeah.
I've seen several of them from season 4.
Well, you're ill-equipped to then.
God damn it.
But I can't, like, you know, maybe I put Key and Peele above Danger 5, but certainly no higher. Yeah, and Danger 5 season 2 is not as good as Key and Peele's final season. Fuck it. Executive decision made. Key and Peele's in the top 5 comedy.
Okay. Is there any argument you want to make for
I would
anything?
Put an honorable mention for Danger 5.
Okay.
Because I don't think people have fucking heard of that.
Another one that people I respect said was really good that I haven't seen, unfortunately, it's on my Netflix list, is Kung Fury. Came out this year. It's 30-minute, just short.
I've heard that too.
I've heard it's fucking mind-blowing.
How do you judge how do you judge a one-episode short versus a series?
Exactly. And I wouldn't even put on this list. Neither of us have seen it. Whatever. But I hear good things about that, so I'm interested. Is there any argument you would make outside of this top 5 that something should be on there?
Not that I've seen.
Then we have our pool, because I'm satisfied with that. As a pool, not as the ranking stands.
But. And unfortunately, our documentary category is just instant win, everybody. The Jinx and Going Clear, I guess I would give it to The Jinx.
I mean, The Jinx is one of the most mind-blowing things I've ever seen.
When the final 15 minutes of The Jinx, it's like a bomb went off in my apartment.
Yeah.
I was all full.
Speechless.
I
shit my pants.
Yeah.
I lost my sight for a while.
Like, I sometimes pity you that you watch a lot of stuff alone, because seriously, me and Ceci, like, we're like pawing and like a cat trying to climb a tree with each other on the couch.
Saw.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the greatest documentary I think that's ever been shot. honestly.
I mean, there's a lot of quibbles with, like, and I...
Just
of,
the way it ends is...
There was a backlash, and then the backlash to the backlash, and I still don't know what the actual...
What was there a backlash about?
The fact that he knowingly withheld some of this information because of the invest... That, and might have fucked up the investigation, and that he... That there's oh, some, but it, to me, it
that's
felt,
external.
Yeah.
Say what you want about that stuff.
Well...
Let's talk about the fucking stuff on screen. That final confrontation and yeah. the stuff in the bathroom. I couldn't believe what I was hearing
no.
and seeing.
I mean, I know it's some of the critics were
I mean,
essentially
the belching the.
Yeah.
If how he the knows hell do he's you, fucking.
How do you know?
And it's real. It's real, and it's really happening. It's not yeah. a scripted drama.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, if this was a scripted drama, oh, well, they plotted that well.
Well, and I think that's where a lot of the this guy manipulated, like, that guy that could, that blew the thing open with the handwriting, just finding a document. A lot of people say that he manipulated the timeline so that conveniently happened at the end. Like, he found out about that months and they could have, like, you know, it just been a straightforward thing. But instead, he kind of had this narrative flow where it's like, oh, I'm not sure who I believe. And, you know, because I remember, like, when I first, the first few episodes, I'm like, maybe Robert Frost is
yeah.
just, or no, Robert Durst.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it? Who is it?
Durst. Okay. Yeah, Robert Durst.
Because Nora Durst is fucking with me.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he's misunderstood. He's just an odd dude, and he's had a lot of bad luck.
And they play with that for a while, yeah.
But the longer it goes, and then the final episode, it's like, I said at the time that the Jinx was what Serial wished it was.
Sure.
Serial wished it had a bomb drop at the end. Not taking anything away from Serial, because Serial was
And that was
really
the thing.
Good.
Serial was still airing at the time. And
yes.
It was like... I've just seen one of the greatest documentary reveals ever
yes.
filmed. There's nothing you're going to tell me at the end of Serial that's going to blow my mind in the way this did.
Sure.
I feel bad for you.
Sure.
That said, Going Clear is another documentary that really hits home for me.
Yeah.
I mean, sure. Scientology is a little more sinister, I'd say, than Jehovah's Witnesses. In the way, like, there's no
slave
indentured
labor
servitude
camp. No, like,
in the witness organization.
I don't think the witnesses actually break the law, whereas, like, there's
exactly.
illegal confinement going on.
There's a lot of mind fuckery going on in the witnesses, but yeah.
There's no illegal confinement going on. Like, you go to Bethel, New York, there's not a bunch of Bethelites being held in chains, or...
They are making a pittance for the job
sure,
they're doing, and,
sure.
like, that's all bullshit in the same way that the Scientology stuff is, but, like... That documentary really hit home for me because of how close it hit to my experience
sure.
as a kid growing
Especially
up.
Especially at the final moments where they're talking about, like, the mother saying goodbye, knowing that she's not going to see her daughter again because of the what they call that? Shunning? They don't call it shunning. They call it something else. It's some who gives a fuck? It's a cult.
Disassociation?
No, it was suppressive purpose. I forget what you call what they do. It's a suppressive person, and
oh,
then they
yeah,
do
yeah.
something. That they have a tech. Name for it, but no, I
yeah.
agree. If the Jinx didn't completely blow my mind, then Going Clear would have been my number one. And
the 1-2 punch, and the fact that they had all of these people who are so intimately involved with it for so long,
yeah,
coming out and saying these are the things that happened, and this is the way it all works. That was incredible, and really hit home in a way that the Jinx obviously doesn't. But
yeah.
like, but how do you give Going Clear the nod over one of the most fascinating and, like, mind-blowing endings to a documentary ever?
Sure. No, like I said, that was an event, and that was, like, pure water cooler. If you saw that live, that was something you were talking
yeah.
about.
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally. I want to look at and see what's happened to that case since.
I know he got rearrested.
Sure, sure.
And I assume he's still rotting in jail waiting his trial.
Mm-hmm.
Either that or he bailed himself out, but I can't imagine they'd give him bail again.
Yeah.
After the bail shit that he's already done.
Yeah, going, fleeing, taking a false identity, murdering someone while you're doing that.
Can't imagine.
The
so
fact that he got off in that Texas thing.
That's pretty shocking.
Fully, I mean, yeah,
well,
fully insane.
I overreacted and I just remembered this body and...
I mean, only in Texas.
right?
Only in Texas would that shit fly.
Sure.
Okay. And still, like,
I feel like
there could be a documentary about that. That whole, I would love to see still documentary more just on the Texas trial, because I still can't believe that that's what happened.
Yeah.
I'm actually excited for this, like, same thing, this OJ FX series.
That should be interesting.
Because, like, that's another thing I remember watching as it going down. Like, I don't understand how this is happening. But that shows what money can, you know.
The glove does not fit.
You mix a ton of money and really skilled defense attorneys versus overworked civil servants that are completely overmatched with a bunch of simmering racial tension.
Yeah.
And celebrity, you don't get justice.
You certainly don't get justice. So I'm comfortable with the Jinx winning Best Documentary, period. We don't have to revisit this.
Same here. Same here.
And the Jinx winner. Congratulations, documentary.
Yeah. And I feel like that's a good place to leave it for today.
Okay. We can do that.
We got to do act, because that's going to be... We don't even have...
We have a lot more categories, and we have to determine the winners of the other two categories.
Well, that'll be on the podcast proper, right?
Well, I feel like we have to know the winner going into that podcast.
The best comedy is the one that's the... That's the one. Like, I don't know what you'd say. And I don't want to talk about it, because we've already spoiled the other one.
Yeah.
So, all right.
More deliberations to follow.
More deliberations to follow. All right. We'll see you then. Is this me? Am I doing this?
Okay. Take us out. Get rid of this bullshit.